Welcome to the Church of Philadelphia podcast. Get ready for this message to ignite your faith as the power and love of God is shared through His Word.
Amen, amen. And as we're pressing on in our current sermon series, we've still been talking about encounter as this year is quickly coming to a close. We're still talking about encounter, and we're at that portion where we're now talking about encounter through the faces of deliverance. Amen. Right. And we thank God that those who've been speaking, how they've been continually pressing through and giving what thus saith the Lord, yes. Talking about encounter and deliverance. Amen. And so today we're going to try our best to give it what thus saith the Lord in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So I want to remind you of our foundational scripture, which is found in Luke, right? Our foundational scripture was found in Luke chapter number 4, verse 18, which talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty at them that are bruised. Amen. So Thank God. God has anointed us to declare and to preach this gospel. Amen. It is this power of the gospel that is going to bring, you know, salvation unto those that are lost. It's going to heal the brokenhearted, like the scripture says. But it's going to bring about deliverance. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for deliverance. Amen. I thank God for deliverance. And so that's what we're looking for God to bring deliverance in our lives and our families, you know, individually as well as collectively. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So now, if you have your Bibles, y'all know with me, well, today with us, you still get to be some gymnast, right? We're going to flip over to the book of Romans, chapter number 16, and we're going to land a perfect 10 on verse number 17. So Romans chapter 16, starting at verse number 17. When you have it, please say amen. If you don't mind, if you can please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Here begins the reading of God's holy word.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And to the title of today's message that we're going to be working with on today is simply put, change your taste.
Change your taste.
Go ahead and look at somebody and tell them, change your taste.
Change your taste.
Amen, change your taste. See, I'm not going to change my taste. Not in this regard right here. God gave me a good thing and I like it. I love it. You got to understand. Amen. All right. Y'all ought to be happy. Y'all ought to be happy that you see a man of God, a pastor that wants to love on his wife and who's in love with his wife. Amen. In Jesus' wonderful name. But change your taste. Change your taste. Amen. And as we're starting out here in Romans chapter number 16, this is the doxology of the chapter, meaning we're coming to the conclusion, the closing of this chapter, where the Apostle Paul has been speaking to, you know, the believers in Rome, right? And he's been talking to them about the doctrinal beliefs of what it is to be Christians and things of that nature right there. So we understand these believers that he's talking to are both of Gentile and of Jewish descent. Amen. And so as he's coming to the close, we understand, we're familiar with this chapter 16 because this is one of the chapters that we talked about when we were talking about cancel culture, right? Where we talked about how, you know, most men with an ego, they tend to believe that God is not called a woman or a woman cannot be allowed to speak. But we proved according to the scripture that's not exactly what Paul was actually hinting at. Amen. So we're kind of familiar with this chapter 16, right? So in this doxology, what we're seeing as we begin to talk about this, if we want to relate this to different things that, you know, as we talk about changing your taste, there are things that are going on inside of the culture, right? So if you think about things like, if we say cultural appetites, right? When you think about cultural appetites, the word culture is simply defined as related to the ideas, customs, social behaviors of a society, right? And when you think about that definition about the cultural appetites, right? You have to take in mind, or you have to consider even such, right? This idea has become, because again, one of the words pertaining to the definition of culture is relating to the ideas or customs, social behaviors of a society, right? So the idea has become We don't need God. So inside of this culture, and let me make it be perfectly clear, right? There are two cultures that are at work. There is the culture of the kingdom of God, and then there's this culture of the world, right? So when you think about these cultural appetites, we're talking about cultural appetites in relation to that of the world, right? As well as in relation to the kingdom of God. So there should be a hunger for, you know, or having an appetite for the things of the kingdom of God. If not, then that hunger is going to actually be directed toward, you know, the cultural appetites, right? And so when we're talking about this, again, this cultural definition is talking about relating to the ideas, the customs, the social behavior of a society. So with these cultural appetites pertaining to the world, right, the idea has become that we don't need God. It has become custom to customarily push God out of the culture, right? It has become custom to customarily push God out of the culture. And then when you think about social behavior has been pushed to embrace overwhelming extremes of wickedness. So hence, when we talk about these cultural appetites, these are some of the things that Paul was actually addressing, even as he was trying to lay a foundation of what it is to actually be believers, be Christians, followers of Christ to the believers in Rome, right? So now, as we dive into the scripture, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Right. So Paul is basically saying, "I'm begging you, like it's urgent, it's a must, brethren, that you mark them, that you take note, that you look, that you observe those which cause division, that bring dissension amongst the body. Right. Those that bring division amongst the body." But then he says, not just those who bring division, but also offenses, right? And when you talk about this word offenses in the Greek, it's talking about, it's a movable stick, right? And when we're talking about a movable stick, think in regards to the boundary, right? You have some who are trying to move the boundaries that God has actually set. And by them moving the boundaries, not only does it become a trap for us as believers, see, most folk don't understand that what you're doing is setting a trap for your own. So when you call yourself or find yourself actually moving a boundary that God has set, the boundaries were put in place, right? And you have to understand one of the reasons for boundaries, a boundary is given because it is an indication of love, right? And so think about these boundaries that God has set. And when I'm talking about the boundaries that God has set, we're talking about abiding in the confines of what God has spoken pertaining to his word, right? So the precepts, the statutes, the commands, and the laws of God, right, pertaining to God's word, it gives us a boundary on how we're supposed to govern our lives, right? Where we're supposed to go, how far we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do, what our interactions are supposed to look like, you know, with the other believers and things of that nature right there. So understand, it becomes, you know, offenses are set, offenses are established when you have believers, so-called believers that are trying to move the boundaries that God has actually set. And through this, not only are traps set, but it also brings about division within the body of Christ, right? So Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine," right? So you have those who bring about this division, and you also have those who are trying to bring about these offenses, trying to move the boundaries, or which is causing traps to be set, which is contrary to the doctrine, contrary to what we have been taught. Right? The teaching, the doctrine. The doctrine simply talks about the instruction, what has been taught, right? And we understand the instruction of the Word of God, or the doctrine of Christ, or the Apostles' doctrine, right? And when we talk about the Apostles' doctrine, they're just simply talking about the instruction or the teaching that the Apostles received, and this is the foundation that they laid based on what Christ taught them, right? So we've been taught this same doctrine, this same teaching, this same instruction based upon the Word of God. But but understand, based on the cultural appetites of today, and remember we said social behavior has pushed, right, has pushed to embrace overwhelming extremes of wickedness, right? Anything is basically acceptable now, right? Within this culture, you got people now calling right wrong and wrong right, you know, and that's a problem, right? Where there was a great distinction between right and wrong. There was a great distinction between black and white, a great distinction between light and darkness. But now lines have been blurred because of these cultural appetites. People having a hunger for all of these different things, right? To where, you know, boundaries don't even matter anymore.
Jesus.
Boundaries don't even matter no more. And we have to be careful as believers, because you now have believers who are now trying to move the boundaries that God has set. Basically, what I'm saying, that if God says this was not okay, anything that was profane was not okay, you got now some believers who are saying, well, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if what I'm doing doesn't directly hurt you, offend you, bother you, then it's okay. No, that is a mindset of the world. You got to understand it offends God.
Right.
It offends God. It's contrary to the word of God. It's contrary to the ways of God, to the doctrine of God. It is offensive to God. And see, when you got believers who are now trying to blur the lines or move boundaries, like, it goes to show you, where is your consideration of God? Where is your sensitivity to God and to the things of God? You have become dull. Your sensitivity or your senses to go or toward God have become dull. And that's a dangerous place to abide in. When you find yourself moving the boundary, or when you find yourself blurring lines, mm-hmm. or when you find yourself saying, okay, it's okay mm-hmm. to do what God's saying is not okay.
Right.
He's saying, listen, these, avoid them. He's telling you, Paul is telling you, avoid them. You got to separate yourself from them. Why? Because if you don't, listen, if you're not careful, you will find yourself beginning to speak like them, act like them, behave like them, operate like them, interact like them, engage like them. And that's a very, very dangerous place, especially for a believer. Those who consider themselves to believe, a woe unto you that know to do right. Lord have mercy. They don't talk about that in church no more. Those woes. Woe unto you that know to do right, but yet you're trying to blur lines, or now you're trying to move the boundaries that God has set. How can you move something God has set? How can you say, if God said this is not okay, how can you say it's okay?
Right.
Amen.
Amen. That's very good, Pastor Lincoln. When it says here, like, I beseech you, you know, like Apostle, like Pastor Lincoln was saying, like, he's almost like begging, you know, and then not only did he say, I beseech you, but he said, brethren, like, you were talking about how they're in Rome and you're talking about the Greeks and the Jews. You're talking about different theologies, different religion practices, different cultures. Mm-hmm. But the Apostle Paul still said brethren. And it's so important because, you know, you can look at that amongst the body of Christ. Like, there is supposed to be diversity. There's supposed to be a diversity in culture and races. It's supposed to be a diversity of age and backgrounds. And a lot of times, you know, we don't look at ourselves as brethren. You know, sometimes, you know, I only vibe with this person, or, you know, like, you can look at the church and you can look at the people that are within the church. But then you can say, you know, well, I don't really vibe with them. Like, they're not on my level. They're not a person that I would necessarily socialize with. But Apostle Paul was saying, you know, here that he said, but now I beseech you, brethren, you know, mark them that cause division. And the Greek meaning for mark them, it means to look at, observe, and contemplate. You got to look at the people that are in your life, those that you are surrounded around, and look at those people and just observe them. You know, contemplate means to meditate on. It means to really think profoundly about the people that you have, you know, in your circle, in your life, you know, in the ministry, that are in the church. And a lot of times we don't observe, you know, sometimes we tend to judge and we tend to say, okay, that's my group, that's my vibe, that's my people or whatnot, you know, and then those are people that I just interact with at church, you know, but outside of church, these are the people that I necessarily wouldn't interact with. But Apostle Paul had reminded them that y'all are all brethren, you know, whether you're in church or whether you're out of church, you know, there's supposed to be a connection. There's supposed to be a relationship because who you are in the body of Christ. And sometimes there are divisions because the world is saturated still in a lot of the believers. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Praise
I'm going to have to give God some praise, because there are some worlds still saturated amongst the men and the women of God, Lord, people in the body of Christ, people that are in our church, people in our church. There's still some world that's still saturated. Mm-hmm. There's still some world saturated in me. There are some songs that I hear on TikTok, and I tell myself, that sounds good. And I have to leave it at that.
Just don't dance to it.
I can't dance to it, but
don't listen to it.
Just the simple saying, that sound good. That thing plays in my mind like all week. I have to fight that song all week. Just because I say, that sounds good.
All okay? Right.
That's a little bit of saturation of the world. That's in me. You know, and like Pastor Link, I just can't. There are certain dances that I prefer to dance. But those are worldly dances. Those are not dances that a Christian believer, a first lady, should be doing.
That's right. We don't drop it like it's hot no more. We leap for joy. Hey.
All right. Amen.
Hey.
But, you know, even with that, it says mark them, you know, like you have to be aware of those people that you are having around you. Like you have to be able to mark yourself. Like when you are in the world and in God, in the church, there is a division, because there is a division between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And there's a division because you're saying it don't take all that, and God's saying it does. You saying that I can get all this and gain some and get what I want. And God said, but this is the way, and you don't want the way. And not only does it cause division within you, but it also bring division within the body of Christ, because mm-hmm. you have other believers that are attempting to do the walk of God.
All right.
They're attempting to follow the doctrine of the word and what the word is saying for you to be a believer. This is how you are to behave. This is how you are to love. This is how you are to serve. This is how you are to submit. This is how you are to give, and, you know, and not be angry and not be violent, or not, you know, be murderous, not be adulterous, not be adulterous, not to be vain. You know, these are the things that the doctrine is telling us. Mm-hmm. And when you are contrary, when you are opposing and resisting and opposite of the things that God is telling us to do, you're bringing division.
Right.
And then not only does that, it brings a struggle amongst other believers, because you have one person that is, you know, doing all they can to live right, do right, be right. And then you got people like that's like
doing
slipping and
I
dipping.
Can.
Like, hey. You know, you got people like that come to church when they need to come to church, and then they go to the club when it's time for them to go to the club. And when it's time to fight, they know who to be around when it's time to fight. They know when they need help. You know, like I have a personal friend, and she told me, you know, like I have friends from the hood. I keep my friends from the hood when I know I need to do hood things. When I need somebody to fight, I go to the hood. Lord, that's where my people at. That's where my friends at. And then when I need some support, some help professionally, I know lawyers. I know doctors. That's who I go to, because I can't bring my friends from the hood to certain places. I can't be in certain environments with my friends from the hood. Okay. Wow. And so when there are people that I need to help me pray, then I go to my friends in the church, mm-hmm. because my friends in the church will help me pray and help me pray for the things that I'm believing God for. Those are divisions. There shouldn't be different entities of yourself. You should be one. You should be holistic. You should just be who you are, not multiplicities of different personalities, different behaviors, and of different spirits. Praise
Amen.
God. And not only does that bring a contrary offensement to the body of Christ, because you have people looking at you like, you know, you have people looking at sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so, or minister so-and-so, or deacon so-and-so, and they see how you living. Mm. And they're like, you know, it ain't right. Like, how can you do this? And then you in the church, but God is saying to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes a point, and for sure, there are definitely were levels in my salvation that I had to accomplish. There were times in my life that There were things I just could not accomplish. I could just not accomplish worldliness or secular music. I could not accomplish, you know, not cursing. I could not accomplish not lying. I could not accomplish not drinking. Then I got those areas, okay, when I was by myself, I didn't do that. But then it was areas when I was around people that did curse, or when I was around people that did drink, like they didn't know I was trying to live safe. They didn't know I was trying to, you know, be in God, you know. So those areas where things I had to overcome, like drinking around people that didn't know I was saved. Because there were people that knew I was saved, and then there were certain people that didn't know I was saved. Mm-hmm. So, like, those were accomplishments that, you know, I had to overcome, situations and things within my flesh, things that were in the world that were in me. Then there was levels, okay, now I have accomplished, you know, being around people that drink, that curse, and I don't drink and I don't curse. And then I was in environments where people were drinking and people were cursing. And then after a while, I was like, okay, well, you know, I want to be social. You know, I want to go out to bars and clubs and events. You know, I'm young, you know, and I like to do things. I don't want to be always in the house. I want to dress up, you know, and sometimes those areas, those worldly events, those worldly situations, socializations are, you know, very much worldly, you know, like going places in the evening, like going to bars or whatnot, and going to, you know, entertainment places. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, I want to dress up. I want to vibe, you know, I want to look good, you know. And so, but then you go through those areas and it's like you're there. And it's like, oh, like I'm drinking Sprite and then somebody thinking I'm drinking gin or, you know, drinking vodka. And it's like, well, why am I here? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, like, I mean, what's a thing called a Shirley Temple? You know, sometimes I go somewhere, I'm vibing, you know what I'm saying? Certain environments. And I got me a Shirley Temple, but it's like, come on, I just rather be in my PJs at the house, you know, because those things, it's like, I just rather not be there anymore because like, what is the point to try to make the appearance that I'm cool and that who I am and that I'm sociable? And then it's like, but I'm not doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what is the point? You know, like there are certain people that feel like if you were adult and you don't drink alcohol, that you're boring. That's boring not to drink.
Jesus.
And I know there are a lot of people that can relate because we have a lot of people that drink. People in our family that drink, you know, our jobs, people go to job events or whatever, and they drink and they feel like, oh, you don't drink? Oh, that's boring. They don't correlate that with salvation or Jesus. You know, they're like, oh, that's boring because they don't feel like they can be who they are or they can have a good time without intoxication, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not there no more. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And so sometimes like the contrary from the things you've learned, sometimes people want to keep going back around and around and around again to the same cycle. Like, you know, Minister Brandon taught Bible study a couple weeks ago, and he was like, you know, there's no secular music in heaven. You know, it's like, so, you know, sometimes people felt like, well, God had created this earth for us to do all these earthly things because there will be a point that we go to heaven. But like, what is the point? Like to incorporate your life behind worldly things without a true connection with God, because you can't have a connection with the world and be saturated with the world and actually have a true connection with God. It won't work. Now, God will always love us and God will always give us the grace and the mercy and always God will always have that communication, but it's not the same. It's just not the same, you know, and you have to avoid those things. You really have to avoid those people, those social situations, those social events, you know, because it's not good. It's not good for your betterment. It's not bringing you any glorification. It's not developing your life in Christ, who you are. You know, it's not developing your relationship between you and God, you know, and it says avoid them. You know, when I read that, I was like, like that sounds good because there are certain people that I just really want to avoid. There are certain people now, honey, I'm in my 40s and I'm loving it. Praise God. But there's some people like I just don't vibe with, you know, and I'm good with it. You know, in my 20s, I was very self, you know, conscientious, you know, and even with growth and development, being a young child, a teenager, adolescence, you know, young adult, like you're very much hyper focused on how people look at you, how people view you, you know, what people think about you. And I am just so glad, like, it's a little bit left there. But for the most part, like, it's gone. And it's a good thing, you know, not to be so hyper-focused on what people think. But sometimes you have to be careful the motive in which you say it. You know, mm-hmm. like the Bible says, do avoid them. But doesn't mean that you are not loving, that you don't show the love of God, that you don't pray for people, that you don't encourage them. Some people look at that, avoid them, say that's the exit because I don't like you no way. Like you aggravate me anyway.
Well, you're not Christian. Christ.
Help me, Jesus. Some people I just rather not just be around because like you're a Debbie Downer. If you're not vibing and you're not persevering and you're not pushing it, then I'll talk to you later, you know. But that you have to mark that thing within yourself. You have to look and have the identification within yourself, you know, about what really you're looking for. And, you know, and it's so important, you know, as believers that God have us doing all these things, you know, but there is a reason why there are differences and how even though there are differences, there's still a unity. And I think when we buck against that, we fight against the unity of God and unity of Christ and what Christ really wants to do in us, you know, we limit ourselves because we've already learned these things. Mm-hmm. But we just choose to resist it and we choose to oppose it and we choose to fight against it because we just don't want to, you know. And I think sometimes our perception, the way we think of things, because how we learn within ourselves that, you know, to do things that make you happy. There are plenty of things that you do, everything don't make you happy.
Right.
There are things that you do every single day that does not make you happy. It does not mean that you're still not living, that you're not living a life, that you don't live a fulfilled life, that you're not who you are. There are boundaries in life that you are learning on what is good and bad.
Right.
You know, and then sometimes you have to learn, let me just do what good, even though it don't feel right, even though I don't think it's the best for me. But I've learned to obey. Mm-hmm. I've learned to follow the doctrine of the word of God. I've learned to follow after the ordinance of Jesus Christ. I have already learned that. And sometimes we bring ourselves to a place that we just don't know. We just don't understand. I'm just going to do it because I like to do it anyway. This is what I just like to do. But you've learned. But you have learned. And you have to have that accountability as your own self as a believer of what you have learned.
That's right.
And then you have to avoid them. And sometimes it's the avoidance of the things that are within you that you have to avoid and that you are accountable for. You cannot scapegoat accountability and self-responsibility.
All right.
Because God, not only does he calls you saved, he calls you delivered, he calls you anointed, but he doggone calls you accountable. Praise God.
And listen now, make sure the scripture says, pay attention to those or mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine, right? So pay attention to those. And when they do that, cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, that's when you avoid folk. So you're not, you don't have no license to just stop dealing with people. Only when they're right. Bringing divisions and offenses that is contrary to the doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So even as Paul begins to talk about, he say, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. So these ones that are bringing about the divisions and the offenses that is contrary to the doctrine, he say, they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. So this word to serve in the Greek is simply talking about, you know, the service that they do, the services rendered or things that they do, right? It's not unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for, right. It's not about, it's not pertaining to the kingdom of God. It's not even pertaining to Jesus Christ. It's for self. It's right. For self. They do not obey. They do not obey because to obey Christ is to obey the leaders that Christ has placed over you. Lord have mercy. Right. Hit somebody and bust their head to the white meat right there.
Right.
He said to submit to. They don't submit, right, to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Again, to be right. Submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ is to submit to those that Christ has placed over you. So he says what? For your, I'm sorry. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly.
Right.
So hence, we've been talking about these cultural appetites and things of this nature, right? And your belly, all these things are synonymous with taste and your mouth, right? So he says, but they serve their own belly, right? Now, these are some words or some definitions for the word belly, right? It talks about the womb. It talks about the seat of hunger, the seat of hunger. So Jesus. Your belly is the seat of hunger. Your belly is also the seat of mental faculties. Mental faculties. Can you believe that some people actually don't think from here, but they actually think from here? Lord have mercy. Listen, you better be careful how you're thinking when you're hungry. Right. And when I say hungry, I'm not just specifically talking about a natural hunger like for food, a hunger for food. Right. I'm not just talking about that, because when we talk about appetites, right, because we've been talking about cultural appetite, there is a definition for the word appetite. One, appetite is defined as the nefesh or soul. Appetite is also defined as an inherent craving, something that's on the inside of you that just naturally craves. So simply put, there is something that is within your soul that just naturally craves things. It has a taste for certain things. It has a preference for certain things. Lord, it has a preference for certain things.
Right.
And think of it like this here, right? Some men might be breast men. You understand what I'm saying? Some men might be a butt man or a thigh man, a leg man, feet man, toes man. You understand what I'm saying? I'm giving you an understanding. There is an inherent craving within your soul that you have a taste for this thing. Right. You prefer this particular thing, this particular characteristic, this particular attribute, this specific character trait about a person. You're drawn to this right there because it's speaking to your appetite, what you hungry for, what you actually crave. And then the third definition that talks about your soul having this inherent craving or taste or preference is also to seek greedily. To seek it how? Greedily. So he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Their own belly. Again, we say belly is also the seat of the mental faculties, right? It also talks about your bosom or the internal organs. Belly is also defined as the inward parts. Belly is also defined as the bowels. But then I like this definition for one of the for the word belly. It talks about the place of emotions or distress or love. So the belly is the place of emotions or distress or love. Give an example, right? Sometimes when you, like we say in Florida, 38 hot, right? Like it just, I'm just, that thing comes up from here like I'm boiling. You understand what I'm saying? Boiling. Right. But then there's that, you know, that fear. Think about sometimes you feel a natural fear. Like say, like, for example, like if she was coming around the corner, she didn't know that I was just hiding out. And then I just jump out and scare her, frighten her. Right. There's going to be that natural fear that she's going to feel in the pit of her stomach. Like, oh, my God. Like, and she's going to have that reaction. Right. So that's showing you the place of emotions. The bed is the place of the emotions. Or distress or love. So think about when you receive bad news, right? That thing hits you where? In the pit of your what? Stomach. You just like, oh my God, like I can't believe that, right? Or when you talk about the love aspect, right? Some of y'all might not necessarily be in love, you're just in lust. But we talk about the butterflies in your stomach, you know? Or the little warm little fuzzies. My wife be talking about the warm fuzzies and all this stuff. I don't know anything about no warm fuzzies, but you. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about no warm fuzzies. I'm just saying. I do know what it is to be in love, though. So he said, but they don't serve the Lord Jesus. They serve their own belly. It's about self for them. It's about what they crave. It's about their appetite, what they're hungry for, right? And this is the thing. Don't let folk get hangry, they say. Some folk are really angry because what they're hungry for, they can't have. They want it, but it's out of reach.
Right.
They want it, it's off limits, right? But they want it, right? And this is where you find people start trying to move boundaries because I want that thing so bad, I'm hungry for it. I can't turn this off, right? Because my appetite says what? It's inherent. It's something built in on the inside of me that causes me to crave this thing. No matter how much I try to ignore it, no matter how much I try to look away from it, no matter how much I try to close my ears to it, there is something that is built in me that turns my attention toward this thing. Do you know somebody? Can you really? Y'all don't want to be real. I have a taste for it. I've been trying to change my palate or change my taste for this thing, but I'm finding out I still have a taste for it.
Right.
I still have a taste for it. I prefer this right there. Mm-hmm. When other choices are placed before me or other choices are at my disposal, I still rather this right here. This right here. In other words, he's saying to seek it greedily. I seek this thing. I'm greedy about this thing in my seat. Now, this is my thing. He's saying, pertaining to the belly, there is a seek that is described as being greedy, a greedy seek. Imagine if believers had this type of seek when it came to God, seeking first the kingdom of God, or right. seeking the presence of God, Amen. Or seeking the face of God. Amen. What would the life of that believer look like if they had that type of seek pertaining to God?
Wow.
A greedy seek, like I'm just so hungry for God. I just have this craving for God, this insatiable craving for God. What would the life of that believer be like?
Right.
He says, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So they're not trying to serve Jesus, but they're trying to serve their own belly, serve self. And said, by good words and fair speeches. So simply put, when you talk about the good words and the fair speeches, it's talking about having good speech. You know how to talk. And it's polished speech. What you're saying looks very, very, very good. It looks right. It seems right. It sounds appealing to the ear. But the scripture said it deceives the hearts of the simple. The simple meaning those who are unsuspecting, those who don't suspect this right here. Mm-hmm. There are some of us who have the wisdom of the Lord and can hear what you're saying. It looks good what you're saying. The picture you painting with your words, it looks very, very Jesus. Good. But wisdom say, something is not right about that. Something is off about that. So make sure that you are in service to the Lord Jesus Christ and not your belly. Amen?
Amen. Jesus. For that which serve not into our Lord Jesus Christ, but our own belly. And it's so important, like Pastor Lincoln was saying, how like your belly, it's like the house of your emotions and how it drives you and how the things that, you know, distress and loss and how, you know, people can feel things, nervousness and, you know, in the heat, you know, like of your belly. Like there are times that, you know, definitely there is a thing called women intuition, and it's real. Like, you know, we've heard that, you know, before, like a woman said, I knew he was cheating or whatever. There's definitely like a thing within nursing. There is a nurse's intuition when their patients there are about to get sick. Like mm-hmm. you can feel it, like you can sense it, you know. But you have to be careful on the servitude. And a lot of times we don't allow God's doctrine, God's word to just saturate on the inside of us and abide on the inside of us, so that when things come in our lives or situations, like the thing that drives our emotions, the things that drives us when we're in distress, the things that drives us, you know, when there's loss or anxieties or whatnot, those things drives us, but it's not necessarily God mm-hmm. that's driving us. It's the things, it's the emotional things, it's the lust, you know, like it's like the desire to have or desire to be or desire to want. But those aren't the things that God is causing us to serve, you know, and God's not calling us to obey certain things, mm-hmm. you know, like we have to be careful on what we're feeding ourselves and what we are allowing ourselves to eat and to take in and to ingest into our bodies, into our bowels, you know, because those are the things that they are supposed to sustain us, you know, in life, you know, that what we eat and what we take upon supposed to give us longevity and maintenance of our lives naturally, as well as spiritually, you know. And we have to be careful, you know, on how we say things, and we cannot just be good or just be morally good. Like we have to really, really strive for righteousness. We have to really strive for holiness, like, because just having good words and just fair speeches, we can deceive ourselves mm-hmm. because we can say things to people that are in situations that are really outside of what, you know, God might be trying to tell people that we know, because we have those things, we have family and whatnot, and we feel like God is, you know, God is dealing with us about certain family members or certain friends or certain people in our lives or certain coworkers, and we're just waiting for that time to be able to say the things that we feel that God is speaking to us about them. But sometimes we have those times where it's not time yet, you know, and a lot of times we use those good speeches, those good words, like without saying that we're Christian, without saying that we are ministers or, you know, we are a pastor, like we want our light to shine. We want us as believers to just show the love of God, to exemplify a certain level of discretion. You know, a certain level of temperance in our behavior. And sometimes we have those fair speeches, but we have to be careful with that, because the Bible said it deceives the heart of the simple. And if you are dealing with people that are not at a level of godliness or don't know as much about God as you do, that we have to be careful that we don't deceive people and that we don't manipulate people and that we don't impress upon people in the wrong manner because of where we bring things from and where we are having our conversations or the things that we're saying. We have to be careful, you know, in our servitude, you know, as believers, on how we are serving a life of a servant, what we're giving to people, the people that we come in contact with. And it could be so, you know, like, vague, or it can be so like fluid, you know, when in the lives of people or whatnot. But you have to think, you know, that who you are is not just for yourself, and sometimes that can be a selfishness, like, you know, but your own belly, because you're only thinking about yourself. You're thinking about what makes you feel good, the things that you like, you know, the things that bring those things to yourself, you know, that satisfies you, and, you know. And you have to be careful, you know, with your self-satisfaction, because, you know, your life, you can't always be wanting just to satisfy me, because God will cause you to serve people and give back and do for others, you know, give up your time and to minister and spend time with people, you know, and give you, you know, words of wisdom, you know, give people back the word of God, not necessarily your opinion for where you are right now. And then that was really a thing for me as a young believer. Like, I kind of shunned like talking to people, you know, shunned, like, I was very uncomfortable with ministering to people, like mentoring people. People say mentoring a lot of ministries or whatever, mentoring other people in the church, because I was so like guarded, because I didn't want to say the wrong thing to people. I didn't want to say something and it wasn't really like what the Bible was saying. And I didn't want people to have the wrong understanding of who they should be or who God is. You know? And I didn't want to mislead people. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that, the awareness of what we're doing, you know, in our lives, in the impact that we can have on people.
Amen. All right. So listen, he says in 19, he says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I will have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And this is the thing. He's saying, listen, to those believers that are there that he's speaking to of Jewish and Gentile descent, he said, "Your obedience has come abroad unto all men." See, that's a moment right there. You can give God some praise right there, because, see, somebody recognizes, somebody is aware that you are obedient, that you have obeyed. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To be a point I struggled so bad with obedience. I was so rebellious at one point in my life. I'm talking about my Christian walk. In my Christian walk, I was so rebellious. You say, "Well, how were you a Christian?" Because I loved him. I asked him to come into my heart and save me. And listen, I still repent every day. I ask God to save me every single day. You understand what I'm saying? Because I understand what I deal with. But Paul is saying, listen, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men." Everybody's going to know that I'm obedient now. And God, I bless your wonderful name, that they're going to know that I am obedient. He says, "I am glad therefore on your behalf." See, everybody is not rooting against you. There are some people who support you, who believe in you, who are actually happy for you. Some people who want to see you succeed, who want to see you do great things, who are rooting for you to be great in the kingdom of God, to be a great man of God, a great woman of God, to be who God calls you to be and to do what God has called you to be. You know, everybody's not jealous of you. No, we can all shine together.
Right.
Because guess what? We all in the background where he's out in the forefront. But we all can shine as bright as he is. Listen, we can all shine like him as we lift him up.
Right.
He said, I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I will have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So listen, he said, you got to have wisdom, utilize wisdom to that which is good and simple concerning evil.
Right.
So I want you to understand that it's simple to fall into evil things. That's what more for act like it's a difficult thing to be to do evil things,
right.
To be an, no, it's not difficult. It's simple to do evil things, and it's simple to be an evil individual.
Right.
Let somebody say something that you don't like.
All right.
Come on, Christian. Let somebody say something that you don't like. Let somebody on your job mess with your money, Christian. Oh, Christian, you having all kind of evil thoughts. You want to fight folk, cut folk, cuss folk out. Talking about what you going to do, slamming doors, knocking pins and staplers off the desk. You understand? Lord have mercy. Heaven, that's evil. That is not demonstrating the nature and the character of Jesus Christ.
Right.
See, you want to go way out there thinking something can be evil. Listen, if it's not demonstrating the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, just consider it evil. Because as a believer, as a Christian, you should not be acting like that. Come on. This is what deliverance is. Deliverance is talking about how he's changed us.
Amen.
You should not be acting like before you got saved. Now, that's my thing. Listen, I had a good foundation laid in me about church. I'm just a firm believer. The things that I was doing as a sinner, I should not be doing those same things as a quote-unquote believer, a Christian. There's a difference in how I act, how I carry myself, how I speak. You understand?
Right.
So he said, listen, wisdom. You need wisdom concerning that which is good. You need wisdom concerning that which is good. And wisdom is defined as having or showing experience, knowledge, and good judgment, right? So exercising good judgment even for the things that are good.
Right.
You know, because how many of you can mishandle a good thing? For those men who are married, the Bible describes your wife as a good thing. How many times have you mishandled your wife? That was indeed mishandling a good thing.
Right.
Something good. So it's possible to mishandle something that is good. So we need wisdom to handle the good, but we also need wisdom concerning those things that are evil. Amen?
Right. Amen. It says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. It's like, you have to think, like, with things coming, it's a movement to it. It's traveling, like, from all areas of your life, near and far, in foreign places and common places. Like, your obedience has an impact.
That's right.
Not only on your relationship with Christ,
mm-hmm.
but also on the people that are around you, near and far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't realize, you know, who you are as a man or a woman of God. I won't say everybody, but I'm saying, like, there are definitely times that the lack of the reflection of who you are is definitely there, you
mm-hmm.
know, in us individually. And we have to know and grow in the reflection, okay, who am I, you know, as a man or a woman or a child of God?
That's right.
And it's something that we have to seek and be able to come to a place of understanding of and awareness of who you are. But it's very important in as a Christian believer to have obedience.
Mm-hmm. That's
like
right.
If you don't have obedience, you need to exercise obedience.
Amen.
God, show me the ways of obedience, you know, show me, help me to obey. Like, and I know sometimes we say, don't ask God to help you because you don't know how God going to help you. But it's a reality. Like Pastor Lincoln said, like, there are definitely moments in Christianhood and salvation and being a believer that I myself did not obey.
All right.
It was a struggle to obey.
Come on,
a lot
too.
Of times because it was me and my mindset of the things I felt that I should do or I shouldn't do, or things within myself I thought I was inadequate or was unable to do. Mm-hmm. And there were things that I tried and I failed. Mm-hmm. So like those were the things, the issues like with me, with my obedience. And I have to check myself now, like, you know, from where you are, from where you grow, there's still, you still have to obey. You That's still right. have to be obedient, Christian, obedient believer, obedient woman of God, obedient man of God. You know, you still have to learn how to obey God, and you still have to look at those things, those self-evaluations, like those, you have to fight those things, like whether it is mentally, your perception and how you view things and how you see things, you know, your insecurities, your inadequacies, mm-hmm. and say, okay, what are the things that are blocking me from overcoming this or accomplishing this or being able to obey this.
That's right.
It says, I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. You know, there are people that you should have in your circle that should be happy and excited when you are obeying God.
Come on. Thank
there
you,
are
Lord.
People that in your life that when you get to a certain status, they're going to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to a certain monetary status or a certain like fame status or whatever, there are people that come all out the woodworks, people that you know, that you don't know, that will come and cleave to you and will befriend you.
That's
you know,
right.
We see and hear it all the time when people that are famous, they have all these people around them, they feed them, they, you know, they buy all people dinners and they pay people cars and houses, whatever. Like they have all these people that are around them when they become famous, you know, and it's a struggle with, you know, who they trust, you know, because they have so many people around them once they have arrived to a certain status of fame or wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing. Like you have to be glad about obeying God. Like you should be glad when you meet these markers of accomplishments of salvation,
right,
because
right.
like, you know, there were definitely times, you know, when I was younger and we were in college and a lot of my friends, we were working on our level of salvation, trying to be saved. And there was definitely family members that were saying, you know, you need to live your life, you know, meaning that you need to go to the club. You need to have a social life. You don't need to be in church, stuck in church, because, you know, my goal was to be saved at the age of 40. For me to do what I want to do, go where I wanted to go, you know, go to the club, go to the strip club, honey. I wanted to do all kind of stuff, honey, have all kind of different men, whatever, make all this money. And after I did that at 40, then I was going to go to church and I was going to pay my tithe. But that was the end of my salvation.
Jesus.
Like, that was the end. Like, I mean, I be in church and serving and being an usher and, honey, and praying for people, usher, praying at the altar. Like, that was not in my scheme.
Have all kind of men.
All kind of men. Jeez. Rainbow. That's what I used to call them. All colors.
How'd that work out for you?
It was all right. But I'm glad who I got
it
now.
It didn't work out too well. You can have on.
Listen,
he came in.
It don't compare. It don't compare to you, man. Well, God,
I know that.
It don't compare to you. You my everything.
I know that.
You my everything.
He's your first.
Yeah, but you
I'm
my
your
everything
second.
On earth. You my everything on earth. Okay, so that was definitely like, you know, like that was like the end of my obedience. You know, the fact that I went to church on Sundays, you know, I thought I could do whatever I want to do Monday through Saturday. And really after church on Sunday, like I went back, my mind was to go back, do what I would normally do secularly. You know, my vision was to be a nurse and be able to smoke weed. I wanted to be an RN and be able to smoke weed at the house. I did. But that was the end of my obedience, was just church and paying tithes. And then that was it, you know. But there is more to your obedience. And it's not a bad thing. It's not like a Debbie Downer. Like, it's not like, I got to obey God. Because all the things that God has done for me.
That's right.
And all the things that God has done for you. Like, you don't want to obey him. Like, all he has given to you, and he doesn't have to give us, any of us, anything, you know, like, but all the things that God has done, and you don't have any kind of innateness within yourself to give back to God, to show gratitude to God, to show thankfulness to God. Like, it's a level of selfishness. It's back to the own belly, you know, but we have to understand. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. And to be wise, just like Pastor Lincoln was saying, how it was showing, how showing a level of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. A lot of times, we as believers, we're not always wise.
Oh, my.
We can be parents. We can be spouses. We can be girlfriends or boyfriends. We could be husbands or wives. We can be mom or dad. But we don't always know how to handle things. in a certain level of experience, in knowledge, and of good judgment. Mm-hmm. And we have to ask ourselves, like, God, what is good judgment? You know, what is sound judgment to be able to make decision to know how far to go and how far not to go? You know, what I should be doing, mm-hmm. or how I should behave, the things that I should say. We should have good judgment to understand those boundaries and the self-restraint and the discipline of it. A lot of us lack that.
That's true.
And that all comes within being wise, because you cannot have just the knowledge. You have to know what to do with the knowledge. You have to know how to carry the knowledge. You know, how does this benefit, you know, myself, my family? You know, how does this benefit the kingdom of God? Like, because we're talking about culture, we're talking about the world versus, you know, Christianhood. You know, how is that being wise if I don't like the things of God, if I'm opposing the things of God, and I say that I am a Christian? How wise is that? Because if the things, the areas in my life, I'm not obeying God, I don't serve God, I'm not excited about the things of God, I do not support or encourage, I'm not glad about the things I'm doing in God, how is that wise? Mm-hmm. As a believer, when we say that we are believers and we're more unhappy with being saved, like, why is that? You know, all the things that God has done for us, all the things that God has brought us out of, all the things that he has delivered us from and that we recognize, because there are plenty of things that God is doing continuously, knowing and unknowingly in our lives, that he is protecting us from, you know, he is blocking things from our lives. You know, he is preventing people from coming back into our lives, and he is preventing certain evil things that can come and seep into our life. Like, you know, there are so many unseen things, because we're not all at a level where we see so many spiritual things like Star Trek every day. I always say, like, you know, the spiritual world to me is like Star Trek, like all these different weird looking people, weird looking things, honey. And I'm just like, weird looking places. I'm like, no, thank you. But anyway, but it's for real. But, you know, in the simple, you know, concerning evil, like, we're so unwise. We don't recognize what's evil.
That's true.
We have dumbed things down so much because we just have such a lack of obedience. We are so unfiltered. We are so unaware. We don't even recognize evil. Or the things that even concerning evil in our lives, because, you know, of what we have done and how we have allowed things to just come into our life.
Amen. Let us hasten. And because of time, let us hasten. It says,
oh, Jesus.
And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Listen, and the God of peace. Peace denotes in the Greek, it's talking about the God of security or rest, right? I know a lot of times in the midst of you fighting, you know, and the enemy trying to come against you, it doesn't seem that you have any security or rest. But the God of peace is going to fight on your behalf. And he gives us this illustration. He says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, right? Why not bruise Satan under his feet? He said, I'm going to bruise him under your feet, because I'm going to go and fight this battle. I'm going to win it for you, but I'm going to call it your victory. I bless the wonderful name of Jesus right there. Thank God for that deliverance right there. He said, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Right. And when you get to this word, amen, it's talking about what is being spoken, or usually a prayer when it's prayed, or whatever the discourse that has been spoken. When you hear it, you come in agreement with and you embrace it as your own, right? You begin to own it. Take this thing on, saying, okay, you hear that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Embrace that. Take it as your own. This is what God is saying to you. Amen.
Amen. The God of peace, you know, you bring forth the God of peace when you are obeying, you know, when you're not frustrating the grace of God. Like, when you are obeying, the Bible is saying right here that the God of peace, he should bruise Satan under your feet. You know, your level of obedience will cause God to continue to do just almost like the analogy, like do extra for you, you know, to go to bat for you, just because he see, you know, your work of obedience, that God, he will, you know, bruise the enemy underneath your own feet. You don't have to worry about fighting the devil. That's if right. You just obey God.
Amen. And listen, we're flipping over to Psalms 34, verse number 8, which says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him." Hence, we get the title of the text, Change Your Taste, right? Mm-hmm. We know taste it has everything to do with the mouth. And as we talked about, the belly aspect, right? So when David opens this Psalms, he talks about, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be where? In his mouth," right? Again, the satisfaction that David will have, it comes by what's in his mouth, right? So he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Now, when you talk about taste, there are some definitions for the word taste. Taste means to taste, actually, but it also means judgment. It means decision or decree. It means to perceive. It means to eat. It also means the mouth or the palate or flavor, right? So right. Even when we talk about this right here, when we talk about, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," right? David is saying, make a judgment for yourself whether or not God is good. Now, the right. Bible declares that God is good. Even Jesus, when they were trying to describe Jesus or call him as being good, he said, "Listen, there's none good but the Father," right? So understand, David is saying, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," right? Now, when you think about this taste, right, I'm sure you've heard the word or the term, right, an acquired taste, right? And because of all of these cultural appetites, within the culture, right, God has become an acquired taste. Even for believers now, God has become an acquired taste, mm-hmm. right? And when you think about an acquired taste, it simply means this. An acquired taste defines that it's an appreciation for something unlikely to be enjoyed by a person who has not had substantial exposure to it, right? Amen. The Encounter series has been designed by God to give you an exuberant amount of exposure to God, right? And if you have failed to take God up on what he said about this encounter, where I'm going to allow you to encounter me as God, I'm going to allow you to encounter my word, then listen, you're falling short. You're missing out on being able to taste and see that God is good, right? And this is why God will only be an acquired taste for you rather than being what? An innate taste. An innate taste is the opposite of an acquired taste, right? An innate taste is defined as this. It is the appreciation for things that are enjoyable by most persons without prior exposure to them, right? So it's having that consistent exposure to God and seeing the joy, being in the presence of God, being able to interact with God, have God speak to you, have God commune with you and converse with you, right? This is that innate taste that we as believers should have. And this is what David is talking about. Oh, taste and see. You should be able to judge that God is good for yourself. And it says, blessed is the man that trusts in him. You're blessed if you trust in him. Amen.
Amen. You know, we have to be careful about, you know, our taste buds. You know, recently, you know, our family was sick or whatnot, and the things that we normally would like because we were sick, that was not something that we desired or we wanted.
Come on.
Now, it didn't taste good to us. It didn't make us feel good. You know, it made us even more sick. And a lot of times we have to be careful about what we feel like our taste buds are, what we feel like the things that we like, you know, because a lot of times the things that we feel that is good for us and we feel like that we like it and that it is for us, it's not always for us. And sometimes God will bring things in your life to show you, okay, that the thing that I think is good or that I think that's my taste, he'll show you that it's really not. And so sometimes we cannot be so bound on ourselves. We have to put our trust in God because, you know, like us, when we got sick, the things that we normally liked, the things that we normally drank, the things that we normally ate, it was nasty. It was disgusting. It made us feel bad. And the same analogy with us, you know, in kingdomhood, that we cannot just depend on the things we so-called think that we like, because we've already talked about, you know, being deceived and being deception and whatnot. We talked about the things that are that we're craving and we're hungering, we're desiring. And then we have to think about, okay, like the taste that and see that the Lord is good,
that's right,
that he is good, and that we are a blessed people when we trust him beyond our own personal tastes and appetites.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And our final scripture, we're going over to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6, verse number 7. Here we have the son of David, Solomon, speaking to the preacher. It says, "All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled." All the labor man is for his mouth. All the working that an individual is doing is to feed whatever craving right. you have. Whatever right. craving you have. So all this work is simply if you're craving, right. have this longing, this desire, this hunger for God, then your work is going to be geared towards that. Your labor is going to be geared right. towards that, right? If not, then right. your labor is going to be geared to all those other things that you have an appetite right. for, those things that you're craving or hungry for, right? So it says all the labor man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. So this appetite, again, is defined as the soul. So it's saying, okay, his soul is not filled.
Right.
Notice, if your soul is not filled, meaning there is a void there, right? Because all the things that you're hungry for, all the things that you're craving for, have this excessive greed, this to seek right. greedily about different things, this inherent craving, this taste, this preference for. If it's anything other than God, there's going to always be a void. Right. There's going to always be a void. So listen, let your work be directed toward God. You know, working, and I'm talking about, when I say labor and work, I'm talking about working toward, you know, having this right. relationship with God. Work to be right. in his presence. Work to be closer to God. Work to be more like him, to sound more like him. Work to, you know what I'm saying, to accomplish what he's put you in this earth to right. accomplish. Amen?
Right. And I just want to just add to that, you know, don't let your labor just be the work of your mouth. Like the things that you're saying, you know. Don't let that work be what you proclaiming, and is bringing vanity, is not bringing any benefit to your life, you know, because we can talk a lot of stuff and we can say a lot of stuff, but the measurement of your life, you're not fulfilled. The measurement of your life, you're not healed, you're not whole, you're not progressing, you don't see growth, you don't see maturity, you don't see self-awareness, you don't see that you're more loving, you're more forgiving, you're more trusting, like you're not more obedient. Like don't allow your labor be the labor of the things of the world. Like you know, you're working to inherit certain things, you're working to gain certain things, and you're working for perseverance, you know, but it's all for what you're saying out of your mouth in a worldliness, like the things that you should be speaking death to, you're speaking life to, and the thing that you should be speaking life to, you're speaking death to, like you living more saved, like you being saved and sold out, like you living holy, like, but you speak more life to the things that you shouldn't be, the things that are bringing you out of the fulfillment and the holisticness of you as a Christian believer, you know, and that appetite, you might want it, you might crave it, you might mm-hmm. desire it, and you might like it, but it's not going to fill you, you know? And a lot of times, you know, you find yourself, you've lost time. You lost the amount of gains that you could have gotten in God, because we feel like if I do the things that I want to do, the things I feel make me happy, we feel like we'll be more further along in our life. We'll be more successful. But it's really the opposite. When you obey God, when you do God's will, you fulfill your purpose in God. You really advance your life.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you thought you would expect, God will give you more,
Amen.
You know, like you'll have more, you accomplish those things. I've never had a house. God gave me a house. I never thought I would own my own car. I never thought I'd have my own new car. Like, you know, I never thought I'd have better credit. You know, I never thought I'd be able to help people, you know, financially, you know, I never thought I would have this type of job, you know, with, you know, my experience or not having certain level of experience. Those things are all gained in God.
Amen.
That labor is not just in the work of your mouth of what you say. It's in your acts, your deeds, and your relationship, that encounter with God,
That's
that
right.
God encounters you, and then he progresses you.
Amen. 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 So listen, everybody, we're just encouraging you to change your taste.
Change your taste.
Amen. Change your
change
taste.
Your taste.
This is a part of being delivered. Change your
yes.
taste. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in, and please make sure to visit us at churchoffilla.com for more podcasts and ways to connect with us on social, to like, subscribe, follow, and share content as it comes along. Special thanks to those who give in so many ways to this ministry. We could not do any of this without you. And if you want to give or be a part, visit churchoffilla.com/give for more information. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.